fail. Hello, and welcome to the inaugural, for the second time, STR Gamer podcast. My name is Brian, and with me is Sam.
Hey, how's it going?
And, we're going to talk into your ears for a little bit here about stuff that we find interesting, so hopefully you will too.
And hopefully we will find it interesting.
That's highly likely. So I'm going to turn it over to Sam because he's the only one with written notes.
So something I've discovered is that when you write things, people sometimes pay attention to you. So I've just scribbled a bunch of words in different languages, and it makes me seem prepared to talk about something that I know something about.
I'm the only one here, and I know how little you know. So.
Fair enough. I think we'll start out this week by talking about what we're geeking out about at the moment.
Is geeking really the word we want to use? Isn't that a pejorative?
We're reclaiming the word from being a pejorative to something that's positive.
Okay.
And well, righteous.
I'm still going to call you a geek, and I expect you to be offended by it, so.
I'm always offended by things that you do.
That's fair enough.
So what are you geeking out about right now?
What am I geeking out about right now? Well, still playing Rift, which we've been playing since launch, and that game is still pretty rad enough that for the first time in God knows how long, I've actually paid for the subscription for a second month, and it is exactly as you described it in your article on STR Gamer. It's a very, very good WoW clone, which is just enough different to make it interesting. So,
what level are you now in that game?
I'm level 40 out of 50, so a pretty quick leveling grind, but the last few levels have taken longer, so rest XP for the win, as it were.
I mean, I think right now, literally the past couple of weeks, the first world event has come out.
Cunningly timed right around the time of the first month subscription being up.
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, if we weren't hooked already as a whiz, as it is, I think...
As a whiz.
Actually, I'm playing a rogue, but, you know. Speaking of wizards in that game, I made an alt as the Defiant, as one of the Defiant characters, the opposite faction than that which we're playing our mains on. And I've just been getting blasted by enemies, and I think that's been like a consistent problem among mages in that game. Seeing like Triumph Worlds has been the developers have been like responding to that by sort of boosting their stats a little bit and nerfing the rogues and the clerics and stuff. But man, like it came to the point where I re-rolled my character on that server as a Defiant into a cleric. I most likely was doing it wrong. That's what I do, but...
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about Rift is that the character customization system is such that you can easily switch your character around to be more survivable, so clearly you were doing it wrong.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'm also too stubborn to change my playstyle.
This we know. What else have I been geeking out about? I've been reading Cinderella Ninja Warrior and Sleeping Beauty Vampire Slayer.
So let's back up for a second. I understand the word Cinderella and also Snow White. And I also understand...
Sleeping Beauty.
Whatever.
Listen. Stay a while.
Who are you again? So I understand Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella. And I also understand Ninja and what was the other term?
Vampire Slayer. Get with it.
But put them all together and what?
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting, you know, these are young adult books, newly published... which are intended to capitalize on the obvious Twilight craze and possible interest in other genre fiction by young girls. And they're also choose-your-own-adventure, just to smatter all genres together. They're not great, certainly not that well-written, but they're interesting. For the right age person, they'd probably be pretty entertaining.
And you are the right age person.
No, I'm not. But since I work in a bookstore, I must keep myself abreast of all the developments.
Yes, you are not the target demographic.
No. And for the same reason, I read Twilight, even though I was like, it's Twilight. But whatever.
Yes. We will now receive hate mail from the one person that listens to the show.
What a scathing review. It's like, I found your random podcast somewhere, and boy, you guys suck.
Yeah, you don't even like Twilight.
Yeah. What else have I been geeking out about?
Have you been playing things other than Rift?
Not really. I'm waiting for Portal 2, which comes out next week sometime. Maybe this weekend, if people can get their act together. But if you look at my Steam account, actually, I'm sure it shows that I've been playing Audio Surf and Defense Grid, but that's just because I'm keeping them on to help with the Portal 2 alternate reality game, which is going on.
So, weren't you playing some Battlefield or something, or was it Call of Duty?
I played some COD Blops, because the new map pack came out for PC, but I haven't been that into it. It's a game I go back into every once in a while and, you know, die 20 times the first time I play it, and then I get my sea legs back and get back into it. So it's still fun, but it's not, there's too many smacktards in there to worry about. It's just there to have fun with.
Yeah, I mean, it is the go-to shooter.
It's the stereotypical bro game. Yeah. Till Gears of War 3 comes out in a month. And that'll be the new bro shooter.
But it does what it does very well.
It's true. Yeah. It has caused much emulation among its competitors. And what have you been geeking out about?
Well, similar to you, Rift. I mean, like I wrote in the article, it's just in my review about it, it's so well polished that I'm just... I think for a lot of people who are into the genre, or into MMOs and that sort of thing, it scratches an itch that most of us have been looking for a long time without really turning the genre, like without really improvising or innovating in the genre. I mean, this has been written about and talked about like a lot and over and over, but I think it really, I mean, the ways that they innovate are mostly server side, like being able to have dynamic content and having different events and stuff and having, you know, 700 players like in the same zone without it, you know, the server blinking an eye. I think it's really, really cool, and it does all the things right that I and adds just enough to an MMO to keep me hooked and like get me interested in the story and this like dynamic event that's happening, that they just went into the second phase of. It's just, I mean,
which we still haven't seen because we suck.
Yeah, we're dumb, but that's not the game's fault. I don't know, it's just like really, really entertaining, really gets me intrigued in what they've got, you know, coming down the pipe, and it's, you know, even if I'm going questing or whatever and then feel bored by questing or whatever, it's like there's a ton of stuff to do that's just like random events happening, or PvP, which is easily integrated. Or,
so I haven't told you this, but after I've been playing a lot of Rift, like when I go on a weekend bender and it's been like 14 hours playing it, you know, in 2 days, when I close my eyes, I see little glowing sparks for the artifacts. I might have a problem.
So part of me is like, dude, you have a problem. The other part of me is like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely further on the problem side of things.
So Rift, I've been playing a lot of Dragon Age 2.
Oh, yes.
Which I love.
On 360, right?
Yeah, on 360. Which is like, when I got the first one, I was thinking about getting it for PC because of the isometric view and everything, but I chose to go with a 360 version. And so, like, I'm kind of locked into that because I have a game save, and some of the stuff carries over from the first game.
Have you seen any of that yet? You've played for 20 hours, right?
Yeah, I've played through about 20 hours. I'm playing a roguish type character and really enjoying it, really loving the different content, like the story. The BioWare obviously is great at, you know, making... nice, interesting worlds with a lot of rich story and content, and the dialogue is just amazing. And I think one of the things like that is really cool is that it does, not in the same Mass Effect way, like where all of your stuff kind of carries over in different ways, more in on a more shallow way. They've sort of brought stuff over from the first save, like I'll be walking around town and one of the characters will be, you know, one of the extras in the world will be talking about the hero Ferelden did this, you know, or I'll link up with someone and they'll say like, oh yeah, the hero Ferelden did this or that. And it has something to do with my actions in the first game.
It's a concrete choice you made in the first game.
Exactly. Or something that I did. And it's more like on the periphery. Like I haven't seen anything that is really sort of integral to the game, but it definitely adds a flavor. And I'm like, oh yeah, I am pretty badass.
But you're not the same person.
No, you're not the same person, which is kind of interesting. I mean, I see that there's probably many reasons why they went that route, because the game is very different than the first one. It's much more streamlined. The art style has much more stylistic assets rather than I mean, if there wasn't like photorealism in the first game, but I feel like it was a little bit more gritty, less cartoony, and the combat is very much streamlined. And I like all of these things, and it makes sense why they kind of shift to a different story, because they're like, well, it's kind of a different game. And I was listening to a podcast or reading something, and I can't remember exactly where, but they were saying something about it feels more like an expansion to the first game that changes the stylistics rather than a second game or a sequel, because it really feels that way. It feels like a different story mm-hmm. within the first game, but also changing a lot of the
I think dynamics. It was Christine Steimer who said that on something. I don't remember.
On a podcast or something. Yeah. It was really interesting. I feel that way. There's some things that I kind of take issue with, like combat is awesome and the game itself is really good and I'm really enjoying it and it's kind of hooked me, but like in combat there's all these weird mob spawns, like that you'll just be fighting, you know, using a little bit of strategy, you know, trying to work things out against an enemy, and then all of a sudden all these mobs just drop from the ceiling and you're like, where the hell did these guys come from?
Yeah, it's the epitome of lazy game design. We used to always say, oh, monster closets, that's lame. But, you know, now they haven't even bothered with lobster closets.
Lobster closet is a side dish to the podcast.
If there was a lobster closet in a game, that would be interesting. But monster closets are not. But when they just say, oh, monster closet, the hell with it, it's a monster ceiling.
Yeah.
It's just kind of meh.
By the way, what's your obsession with seafood Freudian slips? You're so shellfish. I'm not sorry.
You should be so sorry. We're not gonna get rage mail about Twilight. We're gonna get rage mail about that pun.
No, that's they're gonna have rage quits.
It's a good point. Yeah, they're gonna stop listening
exactly
before it even gets to shellfish.
Yeah.
God, I hate you. Anything else you're geeking out about?
Yeah. So Dragon Age 2 is pretty good, and the borders in. Nearby in Emeryville, which is one of the borders, is closing. I used to go there all the time when I was a kid, or at least in high school and stuff, and just kind of peruse their wares and hang out in the fantasy section and stuff. So I went over there and...
Nobody except for fantasy gamers says peruse their wares.
Would you like to see some of my wares?
Yeah, exactly. There's nobody except for gamers, and specifically like super geeky gamers says wares.
So anyway. Well, basically I stayed a while and listened.
Yes, exactly.
So I went in there and took a look at some of their books. I've been meaning to pick up some Robert E. Howard, like Conan books. I've been like, I don't know, something about Dragon Age, the setting or the music or the bleakness of some of the landscapes makes me think of Age of Conan, so I've been kind of fiending for that. So it's been making me think. I've never actually read any Conan fiction, so I picked up a Robert E. Howard omnibus and like some Lovecraft and some of Paul Kemp's work in the Heir of Iskale series, and the Forgotten Realms stuff. So I've been reading some of those, watching a little bit of anime.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're just really flying your nerd flag high the last couple
of
weeks.
Oh, my God. It's been awesome. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen the series Witchblade. No, it's pretty good. I mean, as a comic book, it's kind of interesting. It's very sort of over the top and
really good. So this is the Witchblade anime series, not the Witchblade live television show.
No, there was a live show too.
Yes, that's what we were talking about this earlier, and that's where I was talking about that actress. I've never seen the anime. I imagine that's better than the TV show because the TV show was crap.
The anime is pretty good. The dubbing is very good. I'm just amazed at the way in which the new era anime series, like the production values and stuff that they're going into it. It's pretty cool. Only seen a couple episodes so far. I've also watched a couple episodes of Claymore, and I know people like that show, but it didn't really do it for me.
I've never heard of it, so
yeah. It's kind of...
It's named after the sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically these...
Is the main character at least Scottish?
No. But she does have a claymore that is bigger than she is.
Well, of course she does. It's anime.
I mean, it's very much sort of like outsiders coming... Like, there's this, for lack of a better term, there's this cult of women that they fight these monsters by becoming half monsters themselves.
Oh, interesting.
And so they carry claymores and stuff, and they basically help clean out towns of these monsters, but they're not accepted in the towns because they're half monster. And so there's all this, like, I don't know what it is. Like, any village anywhere in any movie is very xenophobic. Like, I mean,
have you been to rural America?
I mean, I have. I mean, I understand that that's steeped in historical fact, but
well, and you think it's steeped in historical fact in America? Try Japan; it's even worse there.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know.
They hate you. They hate you.
They ate me. A shark ate me.
So, all right. So yeah. Anything else, or you want to? Shall we move on?
Yeah. So maybe. Maybe we can talk a little bit about what we've been, sort of what's been in the news past week and gaming and stuff and things that have caught our eye.
Yeah, why don't you start? Because I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Well, one of the things is that the whole, you were talking about Portal, the way that they are, like, basically everyone's all talking about how they're releasing Portal and, like, they're trying to do a stealth release. If you, I don't know, you can probably explain it better than I can.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is that Valve has traditionally run pretty good alternate reality games around their product releases to try and to froth up the already frothy geek community about their game. And in this one, there's an implied incentive that if you play enough indie games on Steam, part of the potato sack bundle, they will release the game early. There are some people who are pretty sure that they can't do that because of retail release agreements and things like that. But I think they probably could swing it.
But apparently, apparently, brick and mortar and, like, well, generally retailers are scrambling to compete with that by offering discounts and all of these different things. So
yeah, which is somewhat effective, but not really. I mean, the brick and mortar retailers have got to hate it anyway, because by selling Portal, at least in the PC version, they're just installing, you know, giving people a reason to install a competitor in Steam. And so that's got to be galling for them. So they're really hoping to get the console sales, I'm sure, but the console gamers can't get the game early anyway. So, you know, it's really just for the niche market. I'm sure Portal Portal on the Xbox outsells Portal on the PC probably 2 or 3 to 1. So it's a minimal problem for Valve and for EA, who's distributing it. I would think, and Valve is Valve. I think they pretty much get to write their own ticket when it comes to that sort of thing.
I would say so too. But I mean, do you download anything on PC outside of Steam?
No, pretty much no.
I mean, I just don't see that as being a. Obviously it's a viable option, but not something that most people would look into. I mean, I think, I don't know how many people go through direct to download for things other than, you know, Valve-related products, but they have a pretty good hold on the market.
Yeah, no, they're dominant. And, I mean, you know, GameStop is going to try and compete with them because they bought Impulse, which was a competing download service. And there's a possibility they could make a good run at it, but I think Steam has got a stranglehold on the market right now, much like Apple does in the music space. So we'll see what happens. Competition is always good, but Impulse was never a great product, and I don't think that the addition of GameStop to much of anything makes anything better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, other than that, I remember seeing, I don't know if it was this week or last week, but I think John Riccitiello came out talking about the way that he made some comment about Battlefield 3 going to be basically blow COD out of the water. And
yeah,
stuff.
Their goal is to blow Call of Duty out of the water.
Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a business dude first and foremost, and so he's going to say things that make the company look good, and that's the sort of thing that people say to make shareholders feel good, because you don't want them to say, we're going to come real close to being second in the market.
Yeah.
It's not what shareholders want to hear. So it's really just hot air.
But do you think that Battlefield has the potential to do that?
It depends. My guess is if they stick to the classic Battlefield format, no. They would have to specifically make some pretty specific changes to the Battlefield formula, emulating the Call of Duty style, to draw enough people away to make that a big deal. I mean, Battlefield has been a really good series for EA, but the core of the Battlefield gameplay is such, it's, for one thing, it's team-based, which is not something that is necessarily the first and foremost thing that comes to mind when you think of Call of Duty players.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I would like to see Battlefield rival Call of Duty somewhat more, because I like competition, and I think Battlefield brings some nuanced gameplay to the forefront that Call of Duty doesn't necessarily. But
we'll see. Haven't really seen much of it other than those couple of trailers.
Other than some super awesome trailers.
Yeah, and they're awesome. I mean, they're definitely beautiful, but they don't tell us much about how the game's going to play.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I'm tempering my expectations. I mean, I enjoyed my time with Battlefield 2 Bad Company, and although the multiplayer in that game is deadly.
Really?
And I never played the single player, which I'm just remembering now. So,
well, that says something.
That does say something. Well, it was not great. So, oh well.
What do you think about the announcements about some sort of next generation console to succeed the Wii?
Well, man, it's about time, right? I mean, everybody's been sitting around going, okay, it's been 6 years since the Xbox 360 came out, and 5 since the PlayStation, and everything is feeling kind of long in the tooth. It's been real interesting following the gaming press as we do, because a lot of people are starting to be like the PC is their platform of choice. You know, oh, the graphics are so much better on the PC, look at what they're doing with this, blah, blah, blah. It's interesting to see that transition. I mean, obviously, I'm kind of a PC gamer at heart, so I like to see that, but I'm okay with the PC being a niche market as well. But
we should qualify that saying that Crysis 2 just came out. Yeah. And so a lot of people are looking at that for benchmarks and that sort of thing on the PC.
Yeah, but at the same time, that game runs really, really well on the Xbox and the PlayStation. Less so on the PlayStation.
Yeah, of course. I mean, especially on the 360, but definitely, I mean, it's still plays well on the PC from what I can see. I mean,
yeah.
Or better. But I don't know. Like, for me, the Wii has... Like, I've gone through... I haven't purchased a Wii, and I know you haven't either.
Price cut.
Yeah.
Going down to $149.
Which is great, but...
Still not going to buy one.
Yeah. I mean, it's like... I don't know. They're doing the same thing with the 3DS. I mean, the 3DS has the 3D gimmick and stuff, and I understand that people are interested in that, and you know, it's got the handheld crowd and everything, but... It's doing the same thing that, like, is my issue with the Wii, in that there's so much stuff coming out for it, especially at launch, that it's just rehashes of old stuff, you know, that I've already played and that is great, but it's like, the Wii has a bunch of great games that like, I've played at a friend's house or, you know, that I've seen or whatever, like Mario, like, what is that game,
I can't remember. Super Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers, obviously that's great.
Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking about the specific one, which is with it's one of those very hipsterish games where there's a...
Gonna need some more information.
There's a dude with a sword that looks like a fluorescent light.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do, but a camera... the world is never enough.
I think that was a James Bond movie.
No, it is, but this game has a very similar name to it. It's like The World.
The World Ends With You?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, they've got some great games and whatever, but it never, like...
They have so much dreck at the same time. Oh, my God.
But the thing is, like, even the good stuff never really sort of grabbed me, and maybe because, like, I've become a snob about HD or something like that, but...
I think we are not the demographic for Nintendo anymore. They release... retreads of their sort of classic games because they know that the hardcore will buy them, but everything else is aimed at the new Nintendo crowd, the Wii crowd, and those people couldn't care less about Zelda or Mario or whatever. Maybe Mario, but Zelda they don't care about. They certainly don't care about Kid Icarus or any of the other stuff that's coming down the pipe.
But it's weird though, because I mean totally a Nintendo fanboy coming up. Like, I always had, like, you know, that was my first system that I would get of whatever, you know, generation it was. But when the Wii came out, I was just like, nah, I don't know. Like, I'm more looking to get a 360 or a PS3 when it came out.
Well, that's where all the interesting new game stuff was coming out.
Yeah, definitely.
And conceptually, the Nintendo is still stuck in the 80s. I mean, aside from, you know, some fabulous game design, but it's really just next levels of the same ideas that mm-hmm. they've always had versus, you know, some of the stuff that we've seen on 360 and even PS3. So for a real gamer, all the real interesting innovation is coming on the other consoles.
Yeah.
So
I'm also not much into remakes. Like, there's some games like I'd totally be into. Like, if Final Fantasy VII comes to mind, like if they remade that game, I would totally be into that. But I mean, like, Ocarina of Time, like, I don't really see the... I mean, I love Ocarina of Time, you know, it has never been my favorite Zelda game, but like I definitely think it's a great game. But the remake is not enough for me to buy a new system.
Oh, for sure.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. back to the original topic. You know, the new Wii is going to be HD. It's supposed to be as powerful, if not more powerful, than the 360 and the PS3. So, you know, what's Nintendo going to do with that? I don't really care. You know, we'll see. But it's unlikely that I'm going to buy that either.
I don't know. I think it has. It like the when we first started talking about it, I was thinking. You're saying it's about time for that system to come out. And for me, it's kind of like the time for that system to come out was when the Wii came out. Like, I think that's probably something that could get me to be an early adopter. And I mean, it waits to be seen if it comes out and it's got some, like an HD Zelda or something like that, or I don't know, something awesome they do with F-Zero or something, or even something completely different. Like, I could definitely be persuaded to pick it up.
Yeah, I just, you know, they have to do a better job of stacking the launch lineup. I mean, the 3DS's launch lineup was a joke. Even the Wii's launch lineup was kind of meh. And frankly, there probably still aren't 10 games that I'd buy for a Wii if I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see the appeal.
Yeah. There was a time, though.
There was a time.
I remember.
There was a time. That was us being caught up in the mania, as we are wont to do.
Well, I mean, the Wii's had not been seen on store shelves for months, and then we walked into Best Buy one day,
and there was a whole fucking pallet of.
There was like a great load of Wii's, and we were looking at it like not knowing what to do.
Yeah, we were like, "Oh my god, look, it's a Wii!" And then it was like, "Hey, it's a Wii." Yeah. All right, let's go. the magic wore off, man.
Pretty much.
Mortal Kombat comes out this week.
Oh my god, I'm so into it.
Yeah.
That takes me back.
Yeah, that's going to take everybody back.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
I'm thinking about picking it up on day one. I'm so into that game. Like,
Does it have online play?
Yeah.
Because maybe that would be our next co-op / beat each other up thing.
Yeah, I mean, we... So the listeners can know, we played basically through all Borderlands. We play a ton of games like on the PC together, but like...
Mostly MMOs.
Yeah, mostly MMOs. But I think 360 stuff, like Borderlands, we played all the way through all of those campaigns and like just totally loved it.
I mean, 100 hours easy of content and fun with that.
But you played through the game itself, like single player as well.
I did, I beat the original campaign.
Yeah,
I did beat the original game. That's as far as I got with that character. Yeah. But
so we're thinking about. I think we're
always casting about for what the next thing is going to be. It might be better if it was something that we could actually play co-op as opposed to just beating up on each other.
Yeah, but beating up is pretty good.
Beating up is pretty good. Yeah.
But that game, like, I don't know when it's, which is weird because like I was a big Street Fighter fan when I was a kid, like especially Street Fighter 2, we're always playing that. Like when it came out on the Super Nintendo, we were just going crazy because you know we didn't have to go into the arcade anymore to play it. And but Mortal Kombat was like a different story. I remember telling you this a couple of weeks ago that we were on this. Me and a friend of mine who lived across the street, we were on this beta phase for this. I can't remember what it's called. It's like Extreme something like, and
Extreme.
You plugged in this modem into your Genesis, and then you put Mortal Kombat, or I think there was another game in there, and then it would link you up with other players in your area over your
phone line,
56K modem or whatever, to play. And it was so janky. Like, you were lucky if like you punched and like somebody got hit, you know, in the game. But man, Mortal Kombat, more so than Street Fighter 4, is just like taking me back and like getting me really like excited for that. The fighting genre again.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we had a good run with Street Fighter 4 when it came out, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition is coming out soon, but yeah, who cares about that?
It could be cool, but I mean, they're releasing it as a downloadable
for Super Street Fighter, which is cool because I have that and I would rather not have to buy a full retail release.
Yeah, but I mean, seriously.
At the same time, it makes some serious balance changes which the pro community doesn't like. So
yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't want my Rose to be messed with by their balance changes.
So, I don't think anyone wants to mess with your rogue.
Because she's all powerful, man.
Whatever, dude. Akuma forever.
Dude, there's an eviler Akuma in the arcade edition.
I've seen him.
Yeah.
He looks also awesome.
Yeah, he's lame.
Why do you gotta hate on awesomeness?
Because he's lame. He was designed to be an all-powerful character.
That's awesome.
Anytime you have to resort to playing Akuma, you lose a man point.
Okay. Anything else interesting this week that came under your notice?
Trying to think of anything else that I geek out about a lot of stuff.
You're writing a Shadowrun campaign.
I am doing that, yeah. Mostly trying to find rules holes that before they are exploited. That game system is totally broken, but it's a super fun world and campaign, possibility for campaign, and for the chance to tell a story as opposed to our usual RPG, pen and paper RPGs, as opposed to our usual pattern of, look, it's a monster, kill it. It should be an interesting diversion.
Yeah, we've been playing a bunch of 4th edition D&D. And,
we've been doing that for... How long have we been doing that?
Like a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And been running a campaign on that. And it's been fun. It's
super fun.
Very different from the like 3rd edition, you know, or 3.5 that we were playing before that. And but it has been very combat focused, so it'll be interesting to do... Well, first of all, to play a completely different system,
yeah,
with that is not fantasy. You know, it's
we're so steeped in that fantasy classic Western mold that to play a sci-fi dystopian kind of thing should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think it will be.
I also set up on a particularly nerdy thing. I set up Google two-step authentication on my Google account, so now I can't get or send emails, so that's good. I was thinking about that because I routinely email myself articles on Twitter that I find interesting, and none of them can be sent because the Google server does not recognize my password.
Fair enough.
So I'm going to have to work on that. But yeah. It's if you have a Google account, I highly recommend that you set up two-step authentication because it's far, far more secure. And when your Google account gets hacked, you are well and truly screwed.
Speaking of... authentication. Did you pick up the Rift authenticator?
I just downloaded it. I haven't set it up yet. I was thinking about it going, I don't need that, but why not? Why not get it it is a little more of a hassle to set up than the WoW, the Blizzard authenticator is, it seems worthwhile to me.
I mean, you just basically use the app and then when you're ready to play, it gives you a code and then put it in?
Yeah, exactly.
Why is it more...
Because you have to associate the authenticator with your specific game account, and it wants you to put in the serial number for your game into the app.
Oh.
And I don't remember my serial code. So I don't know. I'll have to go log into the administrator or the administration of your account for Tryon World.
Yeah,
it's just a hassle.
Steam might have that though.
Maybe
because I know that sometimes when you start a game, it pops up and it's like you're going to need this code.
Yeah, that's also annoying.
Yeah.
But I don't expect to care about any of this stuff because Portal 2 is going to come out and then I will disappear.
Yes, we almost did not have a podcast if Portal was going to come out.
I'm telling you, if Portal had come out tonight, it might have come out, in which case I'm gone.
So, yeah. Seriously.
Let me take a quick look here. All right, we're blown right past our time limit.
Awesome. We have a lot to talk about. So do you want to talk about... we were thinking about talking a little bit about gamification this week.
Because it sucks.
Fair enough. Do you want to explain to anyone listening the concept of gamification?
Yeah, I mean, less the concept of gamification, which I think anybody who thinks about it in a relatively rational way, I mean, the idea of gamification is the using game-type mechanics, as we understand them, to encourage people in the real world, the quote-unquote real world. And Jane McGonigal, who is a video game designer and now kind of game theorist, I guess, has written a book called, what is it called? I can't remember.
Gamification, the Gaming of Gamification, Gamification.
No.
Okay.
But basically, that's what the book is. That's what the book is. Reality something.
Use your iPad.
Oh, yeah. In any case, the book is all about how gamification, as she calls it, is going to revolutionize the world, which is one of the stupider things I've ever heard. Because the fact is that game, quote-unquote gamification, using applying game reality is broken. That's the name of it. Using game mechanics, what we have come to know as game mechanics in the sort of reward structure and mechanical process structure and things like that, is already the way many systems in our world work. I mean, it's in basic economic theory that people respond better if you incentivize them in some way. And the incentives don't have to be something concrete. You don't have to, when somebody comes up to the water trough and licks it, you don't have to dispense a drop of water. If they come up to the water trough, expanding my metaphor of humans in a rat cage, if they come up to the water trough and lick at it, and a bell rings, sometimes that's enough. And so there are all kinds of ways to incentivize positive behavior, and finding that balance is important. The only reason that she's chosen to write this book now and why it has suddenly taken hold among gaming press is that, you know, there's a book about it, and I feel better because I've read a book, and now we've got this term, gamification, which we can throw around. That, plus people sort of struggle to understand why Farmville and other Facebook social games are so successful, is one of the reasons why it has proliferated. And I think anybody with a basic knowledge of economic theory and sort of behavior theory can see that this is what we've been doing. All of the business and corporate structures that exist around us, as well as just lifestyle stuff, is all designed to sort of, hey, you know, come buy this thing and we'll throw something in for free. That's gamification. It's a reward structure. So I find it sort of specious, and it annoys me when journalists spend too much time talking about it. So
now, what do you think? What do you think? Do you think it's simply because the gaming community hasn't really thought of gamification in this way before? And not that it didn't exist before, but that they haven't thought of it in a certain way, and the way that she sort of lays it out that is more accessible?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you know, I think the game industry, both in the development side and the press side, have been trying to understand things like Farmville. Why do people water other people's crops? I don't understand that, you know. Why are they willing to pay money so that they can do seemingly inconsequential things?
Mm-hmm.
And this is perhaps the best easy to digest explanation that has come out, and it's easy now. I mean, I guarantee you, in the next 6 months, you will see the term gamification show up in more and more articles that you read, if you haven't already noticed it, because it's now a concept. It's like the long tail or the black swan, these sort of economic theories which have suddenly popped into the public consciousness, and so now they're going to start being bandied about like, you know, sort of bromides.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not bad. I mean, to a certain extent, it's an education process. But you have to understand where that's coming from and worry about it being oversimplified. And that's what I feel like is happening here. People are using the term gamification to oversimplify a fairly complex set of ideas.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's obviously nothing wrong with the way that it works and the way that to incentivize different things, you know, whether you're Safeway or Costco or any or Farmville or anything. I mean, to incentivize something and use it in that way, I think there's no problem with that. I think this is not exactly gamification, but something that definitely is related to it, and what gets on my nerves is like pre-order bonuses and that sort of thing. Works and it operates in a completely different way than gamification, but it does show the way that consumers can interact with larger companies. That, you know, if you go to GameStop and you buy something, you get like this particular bonus, or you get this story, or you get this exclusive character, or something like that. And I think that where am I going with this? I think it's ridiculous, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah, retailer specific pre-order bonuses are the devil. I hate them.
It's ridiculous. I mean, and I'm not sure how that can get better. You know, like other than people just not, you know, ponying up the $5 pre-order, cash or whatever. But I don't know. It's definitely interesting. I mean, obviously, someone like an economic analyst or even someone who has a background in psychology could probably explain it better than that. But
yeah, I mean, it's pre-order bonuses are I hate them. You know, and as a result, I mean, because I hate them, I don't pay attention to them. You know, I get, you know, we were talking about earlier, I buy everything on the PC through Steam. I'm not going to go buy something from Impulse or Direct to Drive because they have a different pre-order bonus. I just don't care. Whatever Steam has, that's what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, I mean, part of it is they're not substantial either. Like, they're...
Well, they really can't be, because that would really be the worst. If you got a qualitative advantage by getting a certain pre-order bonus.
Well, sometimes they do that cross-system boundaries.
Yeah.
I mean, like, PS3 will get exclusive content or for a long time.
That's usually because somebody is a PS3 whore.
Yeah. But I mean, like, 360 for a long time.
Well, 360 has the Call of Duty exclusive.
Yeah.
You know, for map packs, they come out, like, 3 months before any other platform.
Same with GTA. GTA 4 had the same issue.
Yeah. So, and that's just, you know, Microsoft throwing more money at people, and they can afford to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit more... I mean, I understand
and
that.
And the fact is that content does eventually come to the other platforms.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still annoying, but I'm a little bit more accepting of that than like a pre-order bonus, because like there's just so much.
Yeah, and that exclusive content thing, I would think for people like you and me, to a certain extent, works against the manufacturers, because I will straight up not buy a game if I feel like I'm missing a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
And I'll just buy it when it comes out. For the other platform,
yeah.
At which point the price on the main game will be probably less.
So they're generally losing money on
that. Yeah,
this is also different, but it's making me think about the Mortal Kombat exclusive.
Is there a Mortal Kombat exclusive?
Yeah, PS3 is getting Kratos.
Oh, right, that's right.
And that basically has convinced me to get it for 360. I mean, like, I know a lot of people like God of War. I really like the first game and a half. Ish, like I played through a lot of God of War 2. I think it's pretty good. The new one looks really good and stuff, but it's like I don't necessarily want Kratos in my Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah.
Like, he fits in great and that's fine, but it's like if he were an add-on character or something, I'd be like, all right, but I don't really see it. You know,
like, yeah, it's too much mixing. It's like Mortal Kombat particularly has a specific mythology. And to throw in somebody like Kratos or Darth Vader or Yoda or whatever the hell the other fighting franchises have done. Yeah, it's like, this is, you know, you got your Rice Krispies and my Cheerios.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
Pretty much. That's exactly what it is. But I must be said that I'm totally OCD and, like, even food I like to have separate on my plate.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you're super weird. There's no doubting that.
Yeah, it takes one to know one, my friend.
Totally. No doubt.
So gamification is awesome, and you love the book, is what you're saying?
I don't know. I haven't read the book, to be fair. So I looked at it. I mean, and I have a shelf of books on various types about video games and their place in culture and all that stuff. And I read the Jacket Overleaf for the Jay McGonigal book and went, meh. So, yeah. It's not that I'm disinterested, and I could be completely wrong about what her main thesis is, but I don't think so, because I keep seeing people talking about it, and I go, you're an idiot.
Yeah. We will receive even more hate emails about gamification.
I will take it. Anybody, if you want to send hate mails, send them to Song.
Send them to Brian. Awesome.
Yeah. Send them to my Twitter, @BrianWP, so they'll only be 140 characters worth of cursing. And that's okay. I can take that much in a day.
Unless they send you multiple tweets, and then you will be blocked.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other nice thing about Twitter. It's like, oh, blocked.
So yeah, so I had a great show today. So you can reach Brian, as he said, at @BrianWP.
Snuck that one in there.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm @Sominator, and you can always check us out on the blog, strgamer.blogspot.com, and. Anything else?
And if you're listening to this, we have successfully managed to upload it.
Yes.
So yay.
Yes. So exciting.
All right, good.
So we'll see you next time.
We'll say goodbye. What's that Andrea Bocelli song? Time to...
Stop singing.